This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
3 Tuesday, February 25th. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour today. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. A survey shows young adults with a strong financial background do better when negotiating salaries and securing raises. We'll discuss ways to help them get there in our next segment. But first, last month's consumer confidence numbers saw their biggest drop since 2021. While President Trump says tariffs on Canada and Mexico will go forward. We're joined now by Gus Fauché, chief economist of PNC Financial Services. Gus, thanks for being with us. We've heard a lot this morning about those consumer confidence numbers coming in quite soft. Your thoughts there as we look at those numbers?
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, the big drop was in the expectations component. So the present conditions component, that fell a little, but was still pretty solid. Respondents' views on the jobs market are still pretty good, but respondents do think that conditions are going to be worse in the future, and then they're also worried about the potential for higher inflation.
Now, when it comes to those tariffs, we're hearing President Trump say those on Canada and Mexico will be back on starting next month. Your takeaway there, and what should consumers maybe be keeping an eye on for early on?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, the administration already talked about imposing these tariffs at the beginning of February and then withdrew them. So I would not count on getting those tariffs. Certainly, you know, obviously for consumers, this is not good news. This is going to raise prices for many of the goods that we buy, many of which are produced in Mexico and Canada. And it's also going to raise prices for American manufacturers who use goods from Canada and Mexico in their production processes. So this does have the potential to push inflation higher, and that could become a significant drag on consumer spending growth going forward.
And Gus, you know, a lot of eyes, obviously, on those tariffs, and you mentioned the potential impacts there. Besides those tariffs, when you look at a threat to the economy, maybe that we are not paying attention to or talking about, where do you go there?
Well, I think the question is, how does the Federal Reserve respond to this? If the Fed is concerned that inflation is going to move higher, then maybe the Fed can't cut interest rates, or maybe they even have to increase interest rates. Mortgage rates are much higher than they were a few years ago. Higher borrowing costs are weighing on business investment. So there is the potential for higher interest rates later in 2025 that could become a more significant drag on economic growth.
And Gus, finally, before we let you go, your thoughts on the jobs market here as we head into the spring season?
It is still very good. So the unemployment rate is near a 50-year low. We continue to add jobs at a solid pace. Wage growth is running ahead of inflation right now. So that's the biggest reason for optimism about the U.S. economy is the strength of the labor market. And as long as that holds up, consumers will continue to increase their spending and the overall economy will continue to grow.
Thanks so much. As always, that's Gus Fauché, chief economist with PNC Financial Services. Coming up, helping young people learn how to negotiate.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, teaching kids how to negotiate boosts their long-term financial success, including when they're looking for a job or asking for a pay raise. Let's get inside now from Rick Cobb, founder of workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. When we talk about the importance of teaching kids those negotiation skills early on, it seems self-explanatory. What are some of the benefits in your eyes there?
One of the key things is in order to negotiate effectively, you really have to understand the motivations of others. And certainly as you grow into adulthood through childhood into adulthood, you have, if you're going to be effective as an adult, understanding how the other person thinks and what they care about is the best way to do that.
Once you master that too, or at least, you know, get better at that, I would assume that that also helps young kids build their confidence and self-advocacy moving forward. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. What you're trying to do when you learn how to negotiate with people and where you try to evaluate how the other person also wins and what they care about, it really helps you reduce social friction and therefore anxiety, which is something that when you're younger, you have a tremendous amount of anxiety, even about dating or friends or anything else. So this is just a great way to build those skill sets.
So from the parent's perspective here, Rick, when it comes to kind of helping the kids learn the negotiating tips, whether that's job offers, pay raises, you mentioned the confidence and really kind of just getting down what the other person is thinking, what are some of the top tips that parents can pass along to their kids?
Sure. I think the first thing is that you want to set out a methodology and practice it with them. And the first thing they need to understand is it's not a win or die situation. You don't lose anything except a discussion, and you even don't even have to lose at all. So understanding what the other party wants, and then how does that other party benefit from what you want? You, when you're negotiating, you already know what you want. The part that is not complete yet is what the other side gets from it. And that's the thing you really have to focus on. And then how can the ask be framed as a way that it feels like winning for both sides? Another thing that's really useful is what's known as a quiet close. Once you make a statement about what you're trying to accomplish, so you say, I've been here for X number of years. I feel like at this point I'm earning my way, and I'm hoping that I can get X. And then just be particularly quiet. Don't say anything. The next person to speak typically is lost some ground, and just play that through with them.
And Rick, you know, especially when it comes to some of the kids that maybe need a little more than just, verbal instructions. Maybe they need a visual aid. They need something interactive to kind of help them get a grasp on what they're being told here. From a parent's perspective, again, I mean, whether it's role-playing, are there any resources or tools that maybe can kind of get thrown in the mix here to really help get the message across to the children?
Yeah, there really are. But I think, one of the things I was chuckling to myself when you mentioned that, I think my father's attempt to teach me golf made me a terrible golfer. So I think it's good to take it. It's good to take that relationship out into some other place. There's some really great books for people that are on negotiation that are not difficult to understand, and they really speak to you from a human perspective. One of them is Never Split the Difference. It was a negotiator actually for the FBI. And the other one is more of a marketing piece, but it's called Never Eat Alone. And both of those books really emphasize why do you need to understand how the other person's thinking and what benefit is that to you, and in a way that's very approachable and easy to understand and easy to apply.
Great stuff. They'll definitely save the golf tips for another show.
I don't have any. You've seen me play golf. You would know I don't need to do that.
I've got none for you either. This is the Noon Business Hour, not Noon Golf Hour. So thanks so much. As always, that's Rick Cobb, founder of workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Up next, gauging the value of various home improvements.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
When considering making improvements to your home, there are several important factors to consider. Let's tap the expertise now of Steve Kirsch, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Steve, thank you so much for being with us today. When we talk about additions, maybe that are not worth the investment, if you're looking to get your money back on your home, what comes to mind first for you?
Well, Andy, good afternoon. I would say, you know, the couple of 50-degree days here in February, and a lot of people are going to be thinking about some of those outdoor luxuries, maybe like a swimming pool or a nice new fire pit, an outdoor kitchen and patio. Those turn out to be lifestyle choices much more than they are investments in your home. You're not likely to get back very much of what you pay for those kinds of luxury items. Much better if you're looking from a cost versus value perspective to look at things that add to your curb appeal, specifically in the front of your house. Those kinds of projects, we're talking about a new entry door, new garage doors, maybe a new siding or stone veneer front on your house. Those are the kinds of projects that over the years have actually paid off best for homeowners.
I know it can be tough to resist the urge to get in a swimming pool when it's above 50 in Chicago. Feels like summer for many of us. Steve, when you talk about some of those upgrades, you mentioned kind of the front of the home. I'm curious where energy efficient upgrades here kind of play in, how you see those really building up money here in the long run.
Well, those are certainly a good way to hold down your long-term costs. The payback can be long on those. It kind of depends how long you're going to stay in your home, whether you're going to reap all the benefits of that. But those kinds of energy efficiency improvements can be a good selling point down the line, especially as younger homeowners who might be having trouble affording some of the costs, if they know their utility bills might be lower because of some work you've done in the past, that could be an advantage when it comes to sell your home.
Steve, before we let you go, you mentioned some of the more investments that kind of give you a bang for your buck. When it comes to the best return on investment without spending too much, without high costs to fix up your home, where do you go?
Most people would go right to the kitchen. That is the best bang for your buck in an indoor renovation, but not a big luxury complete redo. That tends not to pay back as well as just kind of a mid-range, smaller upgrade to your appliances and your kitchen space.
Thanks so much. That's Steve Kirsch, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert here on the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, tips for women planning to take a solo trip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Nancy Hardy. Police say a shooting that killed a man and wounded a woman in the northwest suburbs was a domestic incident.
A vote on a budget plan could come in Washington this week. In Travel Tuesday, an expert sharing tips for women planning a solo vacation. And gasoline prices have held steady for a while, but that could be changing soon. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 51 points, NASDAQ down 246, the S&P 500 falling about 33 points. AccuWeather says more sun than clouds the rest of the afternoon, a mild day, the high 54. Right now in Chicago, sunshine 52 degrees at 12:31. One of the people shot and what police are calling a domestic incident in the northwest suburbs yesterday has now died.
Initially, Mount Prospect police said two people were wounded in the shooting in a parking garage of a condo building on Northwest Highway. They were a 53-year-old man who was left in critical condition and a 63-year-old woman who was alert and talking after the shooting at around 5 o'clock. The medical examiner says Michael Work of Shorewood, Wisconsin, has died. Police called him an offender but did not offer specifics. No one else was injured, and a regional task force is helping police with their investigation. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9. WBBM.
Lawmakers in the House could vote on a budget plan sometime this week.
The House Rules Committee has advanced a key budget measure, setting up a potential vote on the House floor. The resolution encompasses many of President Trump's priorities, from border security and defense to energy and a tax cut extension. It also includes an increase in the debt limit and steep spending cuts of up to $2 trillion. Some vulnerable Republicans are concerned that could include Medicaid and haven't said whether they'll back the legislation. Other GOP lawmakers have said they're a hard no. The speaker can only afford a single defection for the measure to pass. Nicole Killian, CBS News, Washington.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The stocks are trading mixed at this hour. Joining us with the latest on what is moving Wall Street is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, let's start with the fresh concerns here regarding economic growth and global trade. They appear to maybe be weighing on the markets. I want to get your take there.
Well, you know, good afternoon, Andy, and thanks for having me on. We've had a number of reports, including earnings reports from Walmart especially, that have shown that corporate earnings maybe aren't as rosy as what was expected for 2025. I was on your show before the year started, just as an outlook for this year, and I said it was going to be a bumpy road. I think we end up the year with a small gain in the S&P, but you know the S&P is priced for almost perfection at 22 times 2025 earnings. It's hard to imagine us getting a huge year. We just had a huge gain last year. And even with the sell-off that we've had, I think the sell-off is about 4% in the S&P, we're still up for the year by 1%. I think people are looking at things right now and they're saying things are rough, but really the market is hanging in there pretty good given that we're almost priced for perfection.
And Mike, we're in the heart now of earnings season. Where do you see things as they stand right now?
Well, the earnings were overall pretty good. Banks started it off with very solid earnings. But what really started this sell-off was Walmart. Walmart came out and they said that 26 projections were a little bit below what the market expected. And since then, the market's just been weak. And I think it's waiting for a catalyst. And in my opinion, there's two possible catalysts here. One is we got NVIDIA coming out tomorrow. They might come out and say that the Trump tariffs are not hurting business as much as what markets fear. The other thing is on Friday we got personal consumption expenditures, and if that comes in a little bit light, maybe there's a little bit of give from the Fed as far as lowering rates. So either rates come down, earnings get better. One of those two things have to happen for us to get a catalyst to get a leg higher here. As I said, we were priced for perfection at the beginning of the year. And for us to get better, earnings have to surprise, which they haven't been doing, or rates have to go down, which hasn't happened. So until that happens, I think we're stuck in a range here. But let's just see what NVIDIA says tomorrow. Let's see the PCE number on Friday.
and maybe things will start changing.
Lots to look forward to there. You know, I want to ask you, Mike, too, when you take a look at the market as a whole, any areas that you see as cheap right now? And on the other side of that, any areas you may want to steer clear of here?
I think the AI trade overall is overbought. Now, it's come down a lot. The way we've played AI is we've bought Meta, we've bought Google, because we think that's a way to do it as opposed to the pure AI play. So I would be careful in pure AI. And, you know, honestly, on the cheap side, we like some consumer names. We like Target. You know, boring names. We do like J.P. Morgan as a bank with rates to where they are. So look at some of the consumer names that are cheap. And I would honestly, I would just stay away from pure AI plays. I know they're sexy, but man, sexy stuff usually gets you burned. There's other ways to play AI besides just going with pure AI companies. So those would be the two things I would say to investors.
And Mike, before we let you go here, your advice heading into the spring for investors that are kind of looking for yield out here on the market?
Well, yield, I mean, honestly, I'd go to the bond market. You've got, you know, 10 years trading with a yield of 4.3%. That's pretty darn good right now. Inflation in the low twos. Yield, I wouldn't look for stocks as much as I would just go right into treasuries. And I would look at the 10-year or the 30-year. So that's where how I would play yield. I'm long long-term treasuries right now, and that's the reason why. I do think rates are going to come down a little bit, and so treasuries or anything that's a longer dated bond that's low risk, like a 10-year treasury, would be a good buy right now.
Lots to keep an eye on there. Thanks so much. That is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk. Well, up next here on Travel Tuesday, advice for women planning a solo excursion.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour, and this afternoon the spotlight is on solo vacations for women, as we welcome in Juliet Huddy, travel vlogger and curator of JetSetJulietTravels.com. On social media at Jet Set Juliet Travels. Thanks so much for joining us today, Juliet. So solo travel seems to be gaining a lot of popularity, and it seems to be gaining perhaps the most popularity among women. What are you seeing in terms of the business of solo traveling, and especially when it comes to women?
I'm glad that you mentioned business, because that's really kind of the key here today. Andy, I don't know how old you are, but back in the 90s, you had some of the big guidebooks like Lonely Planet and My Man, Rick Steve, talking about solo travel, but it wasn't really gender specific. It wasn't truly until around, I don't know, like 2005-ish that we started to see women's solo travel reframed as kind of like a movement. A lot of that had to do with social media. You know, you're seeing all these women of all ages posting from all over the world. I was actually with Fox News at the time, and my makeup artist, Daniela, was constantly going on solo trips. And I remember my colleagues and I were like, ooh, that's so avant-garde. You know, and it was like, this is 2003 in New York City. I mean, it's not exactly the place that's behind on trend, but it just wasn't the norm. But things have completely changed. Today we have YouTube channels, Instagram accounts, whole travel companies based solely around female travel. And, you know, whenever you have these topics, Andy, you always talk about, you know, the obvious two points. You have to think about safety, and it's empowering. But I want to really focus on, there are four big developments in this niche. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to them all, so I'll just start with the big ones. But one of the big things is that entire cities and even countries are changing to adapt to this trend. You have places like Japan and Dubai, for instance. They have women-only train cars. Some cities have women's sections at beaches. Tourism boards are holding more and more women's only events. It's not just the destinations that are promoting this. This is a real sellable point for travel companies that are trying to attract women solo traveler clients. So that's a big, big change. We're also seeing a big change in hotels making real adaptations towards this niche. The latest trend is women-only floors, and this is actually becoming huge. You get your room, you not only have women's beauty products. I mean, this can be a little stereotypical, whatever. I mean, softer bedding, but you have extra security. which I love. I think that's fantastic. I mean, not just for women, but for people in general. But this is geared towards women. And that's a big topic. Again, there's been, you know, a discussion within the hospitality industry about enhanced security, which is a benefit to all of us, but certainly something that you, if you're marketing to solo women travelers, are going to want to mention, and that you as a solo woman traveler are going to want to focus on. And the destinations, this is another one. The best destinations, some of them are unexpected. If you've ever heard me talk on this channel, you know that I'm a big fan of Italy. I've been to Rome, Florence, Venice a million times. I walk alone late at night. That sounds weird. But, you know, like when my husband wants to stay out with the boys, I go home and I feel completely safe. But there are countries that don't get the recognition that they deserve when it comes to safety and really appealing to women travelers, solo travelers. If I had clients who were adventurous, I would suggest Iceland. Incredibly safe, easy to get around, easy to get to. I mean, there are nonstop flights from Chicago. It's like a 6-hour flight to Reykjavik every day. You can get them for like $400 round trip. To me, I'd love to see Iceland. Going by myself, I think that'd be really cool. Also, if you have, females who want to relax after a hard day of sightseeing, I would suggest Slovenia. Gorgeous, affordable, totally underrated. They've got fairy tale castles. I mean, you know, that's kind of a chick thing. Crystal blue lakes, so well located. I mean, from the capital, Ljubljana, it's a 3-hour drive to Salzburg, 2 hours to Venice, and just an hour to Zagreb, Croatia. So, I mean, you've got all these different places to go if you wanted to take a day trip. And the final thing, Andy, is that generally women travel differently than men. We tend to lean a little more heavily on immersive experiences and personal engagement. So hotels and tour companies and even restaurants are offering a lot more options for this niche, you know, catering to these preferences, like women-only cooking classes and an ancient villa overlooking the Amalfi Coast, or, you know, a singles happy hour for expats at a restaurant in Lisbon. Arlo Hotels in Chicago, by the way, great company when it comes to this niche. So, you know, whatever, if you just got dumped, or your divorce is final, or you got a new job, or you got laid off these days, who knows? The key is it doesn't matter anymore. Women are going solo, and the travel industry and the world has taken notice.
Well, Julia, you covered just about every question I had there. Great
Sorry.
Stuff. and really, really interesting stuff. Fascinating to see the rise here that we're seeing. Thanks so much, as always. That's Juliet Huddy, travel vlogger, curator, Jets on social media at Jet Set Juliet Travels. Join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, a look at where gas prices may be heading. While drivers are enjoying slightly cheaper gas at the pump recently, prices are likely to rise again this spring, driven by a seasonal spike in demand. Joining us now to discuss is Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group in Chicago. Phil, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. Let's dive right in. Your spring gas price forecast here for our listeners.
It looks like we're going to add on about 10 to 15 cents a gallon. And I don't know what it is. Every time I see snow melt down, it seems like the prices for gas start to melt up. You know, prices are a little bit higher than they were last week. And listen, the bottom line here is that every spring, when we get the warmer weather, we switch to those summertime blends. We run less crude oil. It's generally more expensive to get those blends in shape. But, you know, we're offsetting that somewhat by a big drop in energy prices this year. And we're starting to see that drill baby drill situation keeping prices under pressure. And that might actually mean that this summer they might not run up and stay up as much as they have in the past.
So when you take a look back, Phil, you take a step back here. Consumers, if they're planning maybe a spring, spring break drive. Maybe they have a long drive planned. They're going to get the car and maybe vacation for a few days. What should they expect here, at least in the coming months, when it comes to fluctuations at the pump?
You know, I think we'll be fairly steady this year. You know, your typical increase, you know, here in Cook County, we should stay below $4 a gallon. I think right now we're somewhere around $3.40, $3.50 in Cook County, you know, maybe $3.60, $3.75. But the good news is that the help is on the way. I think that U.S. oil and gas production is coming back. We've seen the rig count goes up. That means more oil. More oil means lower prices for the consumers.
And Phil, the overall kind of economic impact here, looking forward, if you kind of looked into your crystal ball here, where do you see kind of the industry here in the months to come?
it's an exciting time. You know what? I mean, I think that we're getting ready for the economy of the future, artificial intelligence. And I want to cheer people up. You know, I saw the consumer confidence number today, you know, which is usually indicative of how people are going to travel. And it was really a big miss today. So we've got to cheer up people. Good times are around the corner. And the economy of the future is going to need more energy. It's going to need more investment. And I think that's going to happen. The energy czar, Doug Burgum, is talking about expanding the electricity capacity by 10 to 15%. That's going to power new jobs and, of course, new manufacturing in this country. So I'm very excited about our future. So we should be more confident, not less confident.
Who would have thought the gas price segment would give everybody that little cheer up that they needed? It's great to hear. Thanks, as always. That's Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst of Price Group in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's show, don't worry. You can go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.